Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
It's time for your favorite show. The Weekend Report is on.
Anytime he acts like he's not going to do it, he's doing it. He was doing the like, oh, I'm looking at my phone. Oh, yeah. I'm checking some notes right before the show starts.
You'll never figure it out. You'll never figure it out.
Welcome to the Weekend Report, 97.1 FM Talk. Tony Colombo here. My co-host Chris Hart right there.
On this historic week.
Yeah, we have to say that. You know what? It's historic. A historic week. That is true. Producer Carl Middleman here as well. And yeah, it is a historic week. Impeachment is happening. I've been saying it doesn't feel historic because I feel like we've been having this discussion for months. So it's hard for me to get like all excited about, you know, this once in a lifetime thing that's happening.
Because it's not once in a lifetime anymore.
It's not once in a lifetime anymore. And now I'm afraid that it's going to be even like it's going to be once per presidency is my fear moving forward. So we've got a lot to talk about today. Obviously, we're going to get into impeachment, and there's a bunch of other stories and headlines that I want to get to with you later on in the second hour of today's show. Skip Weber will be here. We'll play the Weird News Challenge. So that's always a lot of fun. We will also talk to Mike Ferguson,
who is the host of
American Viewpoints, which is a show you can hear every Sunday morning here on 97.1. We'll get Mike's thoughts on impeachment. And Mike also hosts a TV show called Missouri Viewpoints, and I want to get his thoughts on some of the things that are happening here more locally when Mike comes on at the top of the 6 o'clock hour. And coming up in the next segment, I'm really excited for this. We are going to be talking to United States Senate candidate from the state of Virginia, Omari Faulkner, who is somebody
boyfriend
that you met.
I've never met him.
Let's promote two things at once.
Yes.
Who Omari Faulkner is, why people should be listening, and the reason that you met him was because it was through one of your Red State articles.
Yeah, so I wrote my article that I wrote yesterday was on a rule change the Trump administration made ending birthright citizenship. And a lot of foreign nationals, especially Chinese, are coming over to this country having babies so that they have American citizens and then going home. And the Trump administration has changed the rules so that can't happen. So we are interviewing Omari Faulkner, and that was I'm talking about the wrong article. But anyway,
two articles.
Yeah, that was last week.
That's
but Omari Faulkner is a Republican candidate for the Senate in Virginia. And a new poll came out from a credible organization that puts him just 2 points behind the incumbent Mark Warner. So we're going to talk to him.
So you wrote an article hoping he'd contact you.
I did.
And he did.
Yeah. That's how it works.
Yeah.
Told him I know Carl and Carl Middleman and Tony Colombo.
Mark Warner is a Democrat, United States Senator in the state of Virginia.
And
Omari Faulkner is a black Republican Senate candidate who says he's ready to change the narrative there.
You did a better job than I did.
I can't wait. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to talking to Omari.
That's coming up next.
I find his story, his background, and his entire path to where he's at right now very fascinating. And he's got some great ideas. Can't wait to talk to him. Virginia's in the news big time with the Second Amendment rally and everything that's happening there. Let's start with impeachment. I do want to get your thoughts, though, on your article and the law change that Trump made, the birthright article.
The birth tourism.
Let's do impeachment first because that's obviously the headline of the week. What are your overall thoughts of what you saw?
I'm going to tell you, Tony. The 24-hour plus that they've had to present their case, I have probably watched a total of 1 hour.
That's a lot.
It's more than I thought.
And we're news geeks.
And we're news geeks.
Two camera shots.
So news geeks can't watch more than an hour.
Because it's because literally you're just hearing the same thing that you heard during the House impeachment inquiry, the things they've been saying for the last 60 days. There's nothing new. And so they're trying to present this case. They're putting the president in the worst light, saying that he traded his office and the power of the prestige to try to help him personally. That's why he wanted an investigation against Joe Biden. I just think the American people aren't just buying that. I think they think that something may have gone on and the president should have, but they don't think that it goes to the point where he should be removed from office. It's just not, they're just not there yet.
Two questions. Do you think that they will call witnesses, and do you want them to call witnesses?
I think the Democrats are crying wolf when they say they want witnesses. I think it's a good talking point for them.
I agree.
But I think the last thing that they want is witnesses, because one, that means Joe and Hunter Biden may come up to testify. And if there are more witnesses, that just prolongs the trial. So the last thing that you want are these senators still, and the ones that are running for president, in a Senate chamber when they should be in Iowa and South Carolina and New Hampshire. So it's they really have boxed themselves in a corner.
And you lose your excuse.
Yeah.
You lose right now their excuse. If this goes down, you know, and the vote goes down on party lines or very close to it, and the president is not removed from office— and they didn't call witnesses, the Democrats can cry foul and say it's because the Republicans blocked the truth and they blocked the witnesses from being able to. They lose that excuse. I think the last thing they want is for them to call witnesses, even though that's what you keep hearing them say, because that they know that that's their built-in excuse and they can hide behind that. If it doesn't happen,
the last thing they want is Hunter Biden on a witness stand trying to explain how, after he got kicked out of the Navy for being a crackhead, he's landed a job as a $50,000 a month energy consultant for a corrupt Ukrainian gas company.
And that's another thing.
And your father knew nothing about this and didn't help you in any way.
And that's
I'd love to hear them talk about that. Nobody's talking about is that they are
crying for witnesses and saying the only way to make this a fair trial is to allow them to call witnesses, but they're doing everything they can to block the ability to call Hunter Biden. They don't want, so they say they want to talk to everybody so the truth is out there, but that's not true. They want to talk to the people that they want to talk to. They don't want Hunter Biden or Joe Biden being called.
And if they weren't in such a rush, like I said, the president has claimed executive privilege. It's going through the courts now, or if he did claim it, it would go through the courts. But the Democrats are saying they're not going to sit and play this rope-a-dope where this could be in the courts for a year. That's obstruction in their mind. So they're charging with obstruction without letting the process play out.
Right.
I mean, that's fundamentally unfair.
So as impeachment is happening, you know, the world moves on, and there's lots of other stories and headlines and developments.
Really? No way.
Both locally and nationally. You just mentioned your new article on redstate.com.
Don't ask me the title.
Talk about what the president did.
I'll look it up.
Yeah, there you go. Talk about what the president did and give us your opinion on it.
Here it is. Trump administration rule change ends birth tourism.
There you go.
That's the title.
That is the title.
That is the title. Tell us what the president did and what you think.
He's changed a rule that said they are not giving tourism visas to people that come from certain countries where this is known to be happening, which is China. And if you are pregnant, if you're a pregnant female, I guess you have to give a very valid reason why you're coming.
You're not supposed to travel in your third trimester anyway.
Exactly. Yeah. You have to give a very valid reason why you're coming to this country.
Or if the child is born here, do they just not have the citizenship automatically if they are on
tourism? Well, that's a whole different question. If they do manage to get to the United States and have the child, you have to do a law with that. But Trump is trying to stop them from getting into the country to have the child, and that's something that he has power to do through the power of the pen.
What do you think of that?
I think it's an excellent thing. I mean, Tony, the article that I wrote, it is excellent, but I took an excerpt from a New York Times article where these people were being coached on how to get past immigration officials, telling them that you're going to be staying at Donald Trump's Waikiki Resort because it was a top resort, and that way they would think that you're wealthy and that you're just coming here to vacation. You're not coming here to have a child. I mean, it was literally an industry that was going on. And not only is it unfair to the taxpayers for this to happen, but also the national security ramifications of it. Do we really want people that are American citizens that have never lived here and have no real connection to the United States being citizens, where foreign governments could recruit them to be spies or saboteurs or anything? So not only is it just unfair immigration-wise, it's a national security risk.
So in a related story, another immigration story, one of the things that we have talked about when it comes, going back to impeachment for a second, the Democrats doing this whole process in an election year when they could remove this president in just a few months via an election. But I think we've both said on this show that we think that one of the reasons, or I know I do, one of the reasons that the Democrats are doing this now is because they don't think they can beat Donald Trump at the ballot box in November. And I said this is an immigration story. Joe Biden made news this week when he said that he will fire ICE agents who arrest and deport illegal immigrants who are not guilty of a felony, and that drunk driving doesn't count as a felony. So he's saying that drunk driving does not rise to, it's not important enough. It's not that big of a deal. It's not dangerous enough for if you catch an illegal immigrant here, drunk driving, causing an accident, that an ICE agent cannot take that person and then deport them. And if they do under a Joe Biden administration, that ICE agent will be fired.
Yeah.
How do you expect to win a national election with those types of policies?
One of the ironies.
And what are you getting from that?
You know, one of the
ironies. Who are you appealing to?
One of the ironies, Joe Biden, first wife and daughter were killed in a car accident in the early 70s. His two sons weren't with them, of course, so they survived. But as we also know, Joe Biden always doesn't tell the truth. And for years, he told the story to people that his wife and daughter were killed by a drunk driver accident, which later we found out it wasn't true. But just the point that he could say something like that after years of claiming that his family was killed in a drunk driving accident, and then just to pander to the open border people, say that drunk driving doesn't rise to the point of a felony, just astounds me. And what he was saying, that if these border agents basically do their job and apprehend somebody that's here illegally, he's going to fire them.
How many people in this country have been affected by drunk drivers and have had serious, horrible injuries or suffered terrible loss of life from people who are drunk driving? And for this quote to be said by Joe Biden, you only arrest for the purpose of dealing with a felony that's committed, and I don't count drunk driving as a felony. So I just think of all the people in this country that have had a loved one taken from them by a drunk driver, and I try to put myself in their shoes for a moment and think to myself, if somebody in my family was killed by a drunk driver, as devastating as that would be just alone.
Yeah.
But then to find out that that person doesn't even belong here, doesn't have a driver's license, doesn't have the right to be in this country, and that my president doesn't even want to send them back.
And you forgot one thing, Tony.
After they've killed somebody from my family, I don't know how anybody can support that ideology.
And you forgot one aspect of them. And many times in those cases, these people have been deported 2, 3, 4 times and have come back and end up harming your loved one or killing your loved one.
The extremes that the Democrats have gone to in recent years is just baffling to me. They wonder why a guy like Trump, who they have all these problems with, which I get. Donald Trump has got a lot of negatives. There's a lot you can attack this president for, but he keeps on winning and rising in the polls. maybe it's because you're running away from the core of this country.
If I was a Democrat right now, I'd be terrified that Joe Biden is supposed to be our leading contender.
Yeah, he's your
guy. I mean, if he's saying comments like this when there's a field of seven or eight candidates that the media is focusing on, can you imagine when it's just him and Trump alone and the media is following him day after day after day? Can you imagine the type of gaffes that this guy is going to make?
He'll make a lot of news, that's for sure. All right, we got to take a break. We have to take a break.
We really have to.
Carl don't mess around. You know that.
Yeah, we will. We'll delve back into some more issues of the day a little bit later in the hour. But coming up next, we are going to talk to Amari Faulkner. He is running for the United States Senate in the state of Virginia. A lot happening in the state of Virginia here recently, and we will talk to Amari about it next on the Weekend Report. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to 97.1 FM Talk.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseball isn't boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
Welcome back to the Weekend Report, 97.1 FM Talk. Tony Colombo, Chris Arps, Carl Middleman in studio. And as we mentioned in the last segment, very excited to talk to United States Senate candidate in Virginia, Mr. Amari Faulkner. Before we go to the candidate, set up how this conversation came about. You met Amari recently.
Well, no, actually, I wrote an article about Virginia for RedState.com. Mm-hmm. And the premise of my article was that Virginia, not all hope is lost for Virginia.
Yes. I read the article.
With everything that was going on with the Second Amendment and everything, and with the legislature being taken over, the Democrats, it kind of seemed like it was over. And so I was mentioning that there was a glimmer of hope in Virginia in the Senate race. Amari Faulkner is running for Senate in the Republican primary. And a poll came out back in November stating that he is 2 points behind incumbent Mark Warner, 18-year incumbent Mark Warner.
Who is also a Democrat,
Who is also a Democrat. Mm-hmm. Omari is a young man, played basketball at Georgetown University, has a beautiful family, 4 young daughters. We'll let him tell more of his story.
Yes, there he is.
Was wanted to, after I wrote the article about Virginia and him, I wanted to get him on the show and introduce him to our audience.
Yeah, just had a chance to chat with him just a little bit there at the break, and excited now to talk to Senate candidate in Virginia, Amari Faulkner. Amari, thanks so much for your time today. How's it going?
It's going really great. Thank you all for having me today.
Yeah, excellent.
You bet. So as you and I just kind of talked at break there for a second, you're running for United States Senate in the state of Virginia, but I think the eyes of the country are on that state. So there's lots of things that are happening there, and some of the elections that are happening in the state of Virginia, even for people that can't vote in those elections, I think that there is some national repercussions that go along with those. We here in the state of Missouri last year kind of made national news and had a spotlight on us when we had our abortion bill going through, something that we've still been debating and talking about here in the state. So we know what it's like to have the eyes of the nation sort of covering what's happening. And you guys are experiencing that right now big time in the state of Virginia. Chris's article points out something very important, that not all hope is lost. And I think that people are feeling that way because there was just a power change in the state of Virginia. Democrats took over after Republicans had been able to, you know, sort of fend off some gun legislation and other things the Democrats were trying to pass. And now it looks like the Democrats are going to be able to move forward with much of that. What is the feeling right now in the state of Virginia? And how can you reverse course if you don't think it's going the right way right now?
Well, I think the feeling in Virginia right now is, you know, a lot of people are a bit taken aback by such a dramatic pendulum swing in Richmond. Mm-hmm. But with that pendulum swing comes people that are really united. People are getting involved in rates that, you know, I've never seen since I've been back home here in Virginia over the past 7 years. And I think that is very inspiring to see. I'm seeing more minorities engaged than before, more women, and just people that you've never seen on the, you know, in politics. I'm one of those people. I never thought that I wanted to be a politician. But when I looked at what's happening in Washington over these past three and a half years, when I look at politicians in Richmond who just fail and lack leadership. I mean, we have a governor in Richmond now, Governor Ralph Northam, who, you know, calls people who want to stand up for their Second Amendment rights. I mean, label them as white supremacists, racist, and so on and so forth. So I just think those types of things are really driving Virginia right now. You're absolutely right. I think the eyes right now are on Virginia. And again, that's another reason why I'm running, is because we need more people outside of politics to step up here in Virginia and to lead us forward. And that's why I look forward to taking that fight to Mark Warner in November. You know, I think our president, he's on fire right now. You know, yesterday he spoke, at the March for Life. And that's monumental, because that's the first time an American president has done that. So what we're doing here in Virginia is really, like I say, we're rallying the troops and we're bringing people out that haven't been engaged in the political process ever before. They jumped on to our campaign. And I think we have something really special. And I think we're going to make history here in November.
Omar, give us the lay of the land there. As I said in the previous setup, you know, Senator Warner is an 18-year incumbent. He's got three terms. Why is the race between the both of you so close?
I mean, it's so close that he only has two terms, and okay, That's why we're going to stop him from getting to that third term. But you're absolutely right. He's asking Virginians to allow him to be in the U.S. Senate for 18 years. He's been a part of Virginia party politics since the late 1980s, and quite frankly, he's produced no results. We need someone like myself who is a true servant here in Virginia that wants to take that message to Washington and represent all of Virginians. I mean, one simple fact is that we had over 35,000 plus that showed up this week on Monday to exercise their Second Amendment rights in Richmond. Neither one of our senators, Tim Kaine nor Mark Warner, has addressed this issue. That's unacceptable. Mm-hmm. And there were people who were Democrats, Republicans. There were people from all walks of life. I've been telling people, so much. I've never seen such a unified group of people. You know, I didn't live through the civil rights movement, but I would assume that it definitely felt that way at some of Martin Luther King's rallies across the country, to see people, from all walks of life that are, you know, aligned behind one key issue, and that's the freedom, the life, and the liberties that our founding fathers and God gave to us. And people are standing up for that here in Virginia. And, I feel more confident than ever that we're going to take that message to Mark Warner. I mean, polling and surveys have showed, I'm the only candidate in this race that can get there and beat Mark Warner. And I think his camp is extremely, extremely nervous right now, to be quite honest with you, to see a candidate that's a diverse candidate, and not necessarily diverse on race, but a diverse of experiences throughout life that I think is going to really challenge this reelection campaign.
So we're talking to Omari Faulkner. He is running for United States Senate in the state of Virginia. And Omari, I host another show here on the radio station called Second Amendment Radio. So that pretty much says it all. What that you pretty much know what that show is about just by the title of it. So obviously,
absolutely.
This week we talked a lot about the rally there in Virginia. And one of the things that we talked about was the mischaracterization that many in the media were putting on the people attending that rally and all the focus that was given to there's been extra security called in because of the dangers presented by all these people with guns marching. Can you tell us the truth about that rally, what it was like on the ground there, and the true message that was being disseminated at the rally there in Virginia?
Absolutely. I think the message was a true peace and unity. I'll be honest with you. I prayed every single night, you know, for the weeks leading up to that march, because I just did not want, you know, some, you know, outside agitator to do something that would usurp the message of so many passionate Virginians. And I mean, it was just, it gave me chills to actually see it, walk around, see individuals picking up trash after the rally. I mean, I never saw downtown Richmond look that clean before in my life, you know. it was absolutely amazing. I mean, you had some of the most passionate and well-informed, you know, constitutional scholars that were there. You had moms, you had dads, you had people that just wanted to exercise their right and send a message to their elected officials. And I tell people all the time, I have four daughters myself, and it's my God-given right to be able to protect them how I see fit, you know, and no one can, you know, take that away from us. And that's the beauty of being here in America, is that we have those unalienable rights to do just that. And it was just people from all backgrounds that were there that stood in unity to send a strong message to Ralph Northam and also the Democrats in Richmond, who are, you know, again, trying to further and further, you know, take away rights that they just cannot do. And that's why when I get to the Senate, you know, I will be that voice, that strong Second Amendment voice that says no way you can infringe upon those rights. And I'll do that, you know, all day and every day, because it's just that important. I mean, even when you look at the Black Guns Matter movement across the country, this is not an issue that's driven by race or gender. This is just an issue that all Americans coalesce around. And that message has to resonate in Richmond, and it must resonate in Washington as well.
Omari, tell the folks a little bit about who you are. Tell them your bio. Also, on the record, Tony said he could probably take you out one-on-one if he ever gets that that opportunity.
Hey, Omari, I was gonna tell you this. When I was like a young kid, I was a huge Georgetown basketball fan. I didn't know anything about the team. I just freaking loved the colors and the logo. I had Georgetown shirts and hats, and yeah, I was a big fan of Georgetown when I was a small kid because I thought they just looked cool. So yeah, but like
you
said, tell us about your background.
Absolutely.
A little bit. Yeah.
Yes, same here. I mean, as a kid, I had the same vision, and I remember being in high school. I was, you know, I was highly recruited. I was very good, but I did not ever think that I would go to the school of my dreams, and that's what Georgetown represented to me. I knew it was in Washington, D.C. I knew that it would provide, you know, an experience none of like the others. So, yeah, I was born in Memphis, Tennessee, and I always jokingly say when you're born in Memphis, you're born with a Democrat tag or a diaper, because there's just not a lot of options there, you know, for political thought for you know, for example. But, you know, always raised in a very conservative family. You know, my mother at times had to, when my parents separated, my mother had to raise us on $50 a week at some times, and that'll make you very fiscally conservative very quickly. So I was raised in Memphis, and again, you know, moved to Washington, D.C. after high school to play basketball and become a student athlete at Georgetown University. And after that experience, I joined the U.S. State Department under the Bush administration back in 2004 as a sports envoy, which allowed me to travel to over 45 different countries across the world to basically take our American values of, you know, service, volunteerism, and freedom and liberty to other communities that had really no interactions with Americans before. And as you guys know, I mean, that experience changed my life. Mm-hmm. You know, I even had the opportunity to play professionally by a lot of clubs overseas, but I was just so driven by diplomacy and what it can do when you can bring people together from different walks of life, you know, through sports and through culture. I mean, it changed my life. And from there, we later joined the Foreign Service. You know, I spent 2.5 years in Mumbai, India, working at the consulate in Mumbai. And after that, came back to the United States and start working in national security. You know, I was, again, like I said before, I was never really engaged in a lot of politics beyond, you know, supporting candidates that I, you know, that I thought were great candidates and going to the ballot box. But as of recently, you know, I have felt the need that we have to step up and we have to refresh the Republican Party here in Virginia. And we can do that with a fresh face and some different perspectives. We have to reach down and touch those people, you know, who think they only align with one party, but in actuality, they are very conservative. Amen. And they see what's happening in Richmond, and they see what's happening in Washington with our president. You know, President Trump is delivering on so many of his campaign promises, you know, creating 7 million new jobs and you know, making the world, in my opinion, a much better place. And I think if we could tap into some of those communities and let them see someone just like the many people in St. Louis, let them see someone that looks just like them, mm-hmm. that has achieved the American dream and have embraced our Republican values, I think we can generate a new base for the Republican Party
Omar,
and drive our party forward.
Omar, go ahead.
If I was a Democrat, I'd vote for you, even though I don't live in Virginia, Omar.
Yeah, Omar, we're almost out of time. We're almost out of time, but this is an important issue, so I'd like to just quickly get your thoughts on this. You mentioned being a diverse candidate, a black man running as a Republican for United States Senate. On this show, obviously, you know, with Chris being such a strong Republican and regular guests on this show like St. John the Philosopher and Burgess Owens, we've talked a lot about this the growing conservative movement in the black community. It used to be something, especially here in the city of St. Louis, that, you know, it was just an assumption that everybody made. If you were in the black community, you were a Democrat. But we've seen poll numbers showing that the conservative lifestyle or the conservative, I guess, belief is growing in the black community. And I think you're a perfect example of how that is continuing to spread. How important is it for the Republican Party to reach out to the various minorities and grow in those areas? And how do you think Trump and the Republicans have been doing here recently? Because I think that if the Republicans can, you know, up their percentage of black votes even by 15 or 20%, it's an absolute game changer. It's a community that needs to be reached by the other side. What are your thoughts on that before we let you go?
I mean, I couldn't agree more. It would be an absolute game changer. And I think it's actually happening, you know, right here in Virginia, and it's happening across the country. You know, conservative values, I think they are nonpartisan, you know, but when we particularly look into our black communities, when we see the absence of fathers in the household, when we see too much, you know, teenage pregnancy, we see too many single mothers. These are issues. I mean, too much crime in our neighborhoods. I mean, there are too many of these issues that are so, you know, prevalent today. I tell people all the time, when you talk about the Second Amendment, I had two of my first cousins that were murdered before they were 18 years old. And the people who did that were criminals. They did not buy their guns at gun shows. They did not go through a background check system. So I think minorities are looking at some of these issues and saying, hey, the Democrat Party, they're just not moving the needle. And that's why we have to step up, you know, as Republicans, and add that fresh perspective, you know, reach down into those communities, share our stories, and then show them that, you know, you've been living conservative values your entire life, you know, and I think this is happening. I think if, you know, President Trump, if he ramps up his minority votes as well, I mean, he wins in a landslide. Yeah, I think Democrats see that. They're not producing any solutions from the left, and the president keeps putting points and points and points on the board. Just like I do whenever we play one-on-one.
Let's do it. Omari Faulkner, it is it's great to meet you. It's great to talk with you. I know you're going to have a very, very busy year, but I hope that we can talk to you throughout this whole process of you running for Senate and hopefully have a friend of the show in the United States Senate by the end of the year.
He'll forget us by then.
Omari Faulkner.
No, never then. Thank you guys so much.
Hey, before we let you go.
Your prayers.
Hey, before we let you go, if people want to follow you on social media and, you know, what you're working on and what's happening there in Virginia, what's the best way for people to do that? Website, social media, all that stuff.
Absolutely. My website is Omari for Virginia, and that's O-M-A-R-I-F-O-R Virginia. You can follow me on Twitter at Omari Faulkner. Like I say, just looking forward to connecting with you guys more in the future. Everyone, keep us in your prayers from St. Louis. And look forward to making history in Virginia.
You Excellent. Bet. Looking forward to the next time we get a chance to talk, Omario. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, guys.
All
Bye-bye.
Right. We have got to take a break. Great stuff there from Omari Faulkner running for Senate in Virginia. We're going to take a break. When we get back, more Weekend Report on 97.1 FM Talk.
Take this ring, take my hand, say, well.
Welcome back to the Weekend Report, 97.1 FM Talk. Tony Colombo, Chris Arps, Carl Middleman, Hi. And a great discussion there with Omari Faulkner, United States Senate candidate from the state of Virginia. Great to hear from him.
Our new best friend.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
That's the future right there, Tony, of the Republican Party.
I hope we get a chance to talk to him again in the future. And if you missed any of that conversation, download the podcast. Radio.com is the best place to do that, 97.1talk.com. You can get it there as well as many other places. But the Radio.com app is really great. You can get it for free. You can favorite the radio station. Then you can stream the station 24/7. You can use the Radio Rewind feature. And you can download all the podcasts from all the shows here on the station, including the Weekend Report. We were talking earlier in the show, at the beginning of the show, we were talking about the Democrats and how the how they are seemingly shocked that the president is gaining ground in the polls, and it doesn't look like they can win this next election. Maybe that's part of the reason that they're going through this whole impeachment process. And I said earlier that I think that a lot of that has to do with the extreme left that has continued to drive the Democratic Party. There's a lot of things that they could attack this president for. There's a lot of issues that they could make legitimate arguments against this president, but they keep doing things like what we talked about earlier, Joe Biden saying he's going to fire ICE agents who arrest and deport illegal immigrants who are not guilty of a felony, and he says that drunk driving is not a felony. Another story that came out this week was your girl,
My girl.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez,
AOC.
AOC says, quote, "No one ever makes $1 billion. You only take $1 billion. I'm not here to villainize and say billionaires are inherently morally corrupt. It's to say that the system that we live in, life in capitalism, always ends in billionaires." You know what? Good. I want to live in a place where I could end up as a billionaire. And here's another example of the extreme left driving that party away from the core of the voter of the United States. My opinion. What do you think?
I just want to ask you and Carl a question. Mm-hmm. Do billionaires employ people, or do middle class people employ people?
Middle class people can employ some people. Billionaires employ lots of people.
Exactly. That's my whole point right there.
Yeah.
And it's just sad because, you know, here's a young woman, the 21st century, but the ideas that she are espousing are 100 years old and have been debunked all over the world. And it's just amazing, too, Tony. Did you know that AOC is an economics major?
I did
That's
not.
That's frightening, isn't it?
That is frightening.
That you, the quote that you just said
yeah.
came from an economics major.
Let me finish it, too. So it's no one ever makes $1 billion. You only take $1 billion. I'm not here to villainize and say billionaires are inherently morally corrupt. It's to say that the system we live in, life in capitalism, always ends in billionaires. She says, you didn't make those widgets. You paid thousands of people a less than living wage to make them for you. Billionaires make their money off the backs of, listen to this, talk about trying to touch them all, right? Billionaires make their money off the backs of undocumented people, black and brown people, and single mothers. Like, let's just try to, let's grandstand and try to appeal to every person that we can. Undocumented people, black and brown people, single mothers, they're the ones that make the widgets. Yeah. You didn't make it. guess what? They made the first ones.
Yeah, Steve Jobs and Bill Gates are billionaires because they produce products that millions and millions and millions of people want to buy, including brown people and females and other dispossessed people. So I just see a lot of irony in that.
Yeah, absolutely. Another big thing that made news this week was the release of some clips of this new documentary on Hillary Clinton. speaking of the Democrat Party just being their worst enemy, yeah. Another example of this, Hillary Clinton says that nobody likes Bernie Sanders. Yeah. She says he was in Congress for years. He had one senator that supported him. Nobody likes him. Nobody wants to work with him. He got nothing done. He was a career politician. And it's all just baloney, and I feel so bad for the people that got sucked into it. So she's feeling mm-hmm. sorry for all the people that support Bernie Sanders. Isn't that nice of Hillary?
It just shows, again, just how divided the Democratic Party this is, this presidential election cycle. You have the 2016 nominee loser on the sidelines carping against Tulsi Gabbard, calling her a Russian asset. And then you have her saying Bernie Sanders is unlikable. Democrats have a lot of problems this election cycle, and this is just another spotlight on it.
How about this situation? Did you see the CNN political analyst who was Bill Clinton's press secretary?
Oh, yeah.
Joe Lockhart.
Yeah, Joe Lockhart.
Sent out a tweet this week, and he's got tens of thousands of mm-hmm. Twitter followers. He's got the blue check mark, which means that he's, you know, verified yeah. and, you know,
legit.
He's legit. He's not a fake right. account. You can believe what this yeah. person says. He works for CNN. He said, his tweet said, quote, overheard a convo between two Republican senators who only watch Fox News. Is this stuff real? I haven't heard any of this before. I thought it was all about a server. If half the stuff that Schiff is saying is true, we're up S Creek. Hope the White House has exculpatory evidence.
Yeah.
And so people, hundreds of thousands of people liked and retweeted mm-hmm. this. It's coming from CNN. This reporter overheard two Republican senators saying that Schiff has got the goods and he just nailed the president. This is bad. And then he comes back later and says, okay, maybe I made up that last tweet.
Yeah, maybe.
but you know that's exactly what they're thinking. I mean, look, I know people don't like to see, mm-hmm. you know, hear the term fake news. It's played out and everything. But how can you trust the media yeah. when you've got guys like this, verified Twitter people that work for CNN, who are there in the Capitol, who really could have overheard yeah. a conversation between two Republican senators, reporting about that? And then coming back and saying, after getting like, hey, who was yeah. it? What are the details? Okay, maybe I made it yeah. up. But you know that that's what they're thinking. Yeah.
Lockhart, first and foremost, is a political guy. And so when you're in politics, you make up spin and stories like that to try to get your story out. I've done it. The thing that he forgot is that you're not in politics anymore. You're not the spin guy. You are representing the media. And so you can't make up stories like you would like that if you were in politics. You're in the media. You're representing CNN. And he forgot about that. And I think what CNN should do, they should fire this guy. He shouldn't even be a contributor to CNN anymore. I mean, that totally crosses the line.
It does. I mean, that's just absolutely unbelievable. So when you hear people saying, oh, you can't trust the media, or, you know, people picking on various networks, how can you not be critical of what you're looking at? And how can you not question the reports yeah. that you're hearing?
I mean, just
when this kind of thing keeps happening.
And just what we've seen the last couple of weeks. I mean, I've seen video montages of reporters just praising this Suleiman guy that we blew to smithereens, the Iranian National Guard leader. There's about a minute-long montage of then praising him, saying he's this great leader and the people are going to be sad over it. You would have never known that we killed someone who maimed and killed 600 of our soldiers and was a sworn enemy of the United States.
That's right.
You'd have never known that listening to the media. Yep.
All right, we got to wrap up this segment. We've got a whole another hour to go here on the Weekend Report. Yes, that is correct.
Wow.
If you missed anything from the first hour, download the podcast, radio.com app. Also, don't forget about Carl's weekly movie reviews, which you can see at 971talk.com/weekendreport or the 971 YouTube channel. This week is
The Gentleman by Guy Ritchie.
Yeah, go and check that
out. It's not like his last film.
It's not like Aladdin.
No, Aladdin was his last film. Yeah. This one is more like
Disney's Aladdin. It's not like that.
I don't know who he is.
Not like that. He used to be married to Madonna.
Is
they
he
did
related
the movie
to Lionel?
Swept Today.
Yeah.
Swept Away.
Is he related to Lionel?
Lionel Richie? No.
Oh, okay.
Don't forget to check out.
British.
Don't forget to check out those movie reviews every week and download the podcast of the show at the radio.com app. Hour number two of the Weekend Report coming up. We'll play the Weird News Challenge with Skip Weber, and we'll talk to Mike Ferguson next on 97.1 FM Talk.
It's time for your favorite show. The Weekend Report is on radio.
We don't do it when there's a guest here.
I switch up.
He did it. Second hour of the Weekend Report is
he's
on
not a guest.
The radio. He's part of the family.
He is part of the family. He's not a guest.
That is my partner, Chris Arps. Producer Carl Middleman is here.
Hey.
And, he is Mike Ferguson, the
host
of Missouri Viewpoints, heard every Sunday at 5 a.m. here on 97.1. Regular fill-in for Annie and Mark and everybody else. Great to see you, Mike.
And when you say I'm part of the family, it means they make me take the trash out at the end of the day.
Exactly.
Nothing wrong with that.
There's tons to talk about. We gave sort of our thoughts on impeachment and everything we saw this week a little bit earlier in that first hour. If you missed anything from that first hour, you can always download our podcast. Radio.com app is the best way to do so, but there's plenty of ways to get our podcast. Download the radio.com app. It's free. You can stream the station 24/7, utilize the Radio Rewind feature, and get all the podcasts from all the shows here, including the Weekend Report. So go and do that. And you can hear what Chris and I thought of this week's impeachment proceedings. But, Mike, what were your overall thoughts of what we saw?
Sham.
Yeah.
I mean, and I say that to some
boring.
Degree about both. Yeah, very boring. I say that to some degree about both sides of it, because I liked how John Roberts kind of chastised everybody. We know how the vote's going to turn out. Nobody is changing their vote. You know, we know the president's going to be acquitted. And it's all more nonsense about more about this upcoming election. I mean, what we've got here, this really ticks me off, is impeachment is for the most egregious, the most obvious, the most damaging behavior by a president. And what we've got here is basically the use of it in something that is more for campaign. We are watering down something that should be the absolute final resort, and it's all for a Twitter audience.
Yeah.
It's all for look for sound bites. This is a campaign.
Strictly political.
Yeah, it is all absolutely political. And listen, there's a lot of things that Barack Obama did. There's a lot of things that George W. I mean, I think probably every president since Thomas Jefferson, everybody after Thomas Jefferson could probably have been impeached based on the standards that we're setting right now.
Yeah.
And we need to keep that a very, very serious matter. And I think we're just diluting the whole thing and the Constitution by default.
You know, the three of us are political junkies. You know, I do this for a living. Be honest, out of the 24 hours or plus time that the Democrats had to prepare their case, how much did you watch of it?
Oh.
For me personally,
about
an hour.
Yeah. I mean, I
had in the background sometimes when I was working, but
yeah, Glover and I talked about this the other day too, because we're supposed to do this, track this, and I just can't bring myself to it. I'm reading and watching enough to be informed. Basically, like spot checking. Okay, is anything else going crazy? If there's something alert, so I'm aware that it's going on, but no, I'm not going to spend my life watching this terrible parody of a pro wrestling battle
royale.
Yeah,
for 2 days, I said this on the DGS earlier this week. For 2 days, it seemed like every time I went in and out of my office or looked at a television somewhere, Adam Schiff was standing in the same place, at the same podium, with the same background, saying the same things. They did their opening statements, and he said all the same things that he said in the House. And then they presented their case, and he said all the same things that he said in his opening statements and that he said it already in the House. I mean, they're just repeating themselves over and over, and I don't think they're doing themselves any favors.
No, because the president is, he's not without blame here on everything. I mean, he has, I mean, he's, the fact of the matter is that he probably does deserve a censure of some sort.
Well, to your point a minute ago, and another thing I've been harping on for weeks is, is there some truth to what the Democrats are accusing the president of? Probably. But every president has scandals and issues. Did Barack Obama lied about Benghazi? He lied about Fast and Furious. George Bush lied about weapons of mass destruction being in Iraq when they weren't in Iraq. Ronald Reagan had the Iran-Contra hearings. Yeah. Bill Clinton obviously had his. Every president has scandals where there's misinformation dealt to the American people. But I never thought that any of them rose the level of overturning an election. Yeah. So maybe there's a scandal here that the president is involved in at some level. But to Mike's point, this. It's supposed to be the worst of the worst to get you removed from office.
And the one difference between all of those other presidential scandals and the way that the Democrats are characterizing this to make it seem so bad is they're saying that the president used the power and prestige of his office to hold up military aid and other financial aid to a foreign government in order to help his reelection and to help him personally.
Yeah,
that's their charge, and that's what they're saying is so egregious that the president needs to be removed of office. They're saying he's tried to do this for his own personal benefit, which I think that's part of the reason why this is not really resonating with the public, because it's such a stretch to make that assumption to me.
It's also a matter of impeachment is there as that final last resort when we just cannot wait till the next election.
Which is months away.
Which is literally just over 10 months away from here.
I don't think the Democrats believe that they can win that election. I think that they think this is the only way that they can remove him.
You know, you had one representative says we've got to impeach and remove him or he'll win the election.
So, as I mentioned, American Viewpoints is Mike's show that you hear every Sunday at 5 a.m. here on 97.1, and you have been a part of Missouri politics for a long time. And one of the unfortunate things about impeachment being such a news dominator is that there is lots of stuff happening locally, both in the state of Missouri and, of course, in the city of St. Louis that are not getting any attention because impeachment and what's happening on a national level is hogging the spotlight so much. Obviously, Kim Gardner is probably the biggest local story right now. The latest, of course, is her at the traffic stop saying that she was held for a longer time than anybody else would be, and that race played a factor in that. And then we find out that what she said, that she was held for over 15 minutes. Surveillance footage shows that she was held for 6 minutes.
Yeah.
I've been pulled over probably more times than I like to admit. I don't think I've ever.
Never.
I don't think it's ever been less than 6 minutes.
Never. How do you have a six-minute?
When I've been pulled over. Yeah. So I don't think that she was detained for any reason whatsoever. 6 minutes is the express lane.
No kidding. Well, and keep in mind, she was pulled over because she was driving at night with her headlights on.
Right, which you should get pulled over
All of us would be pulled over for that, and I would hope that they were. Yeah, and as a matter of process, they run the plates, they run the license. That's what they do. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And not to mention, it was around Christmas Eve where you're expecting people are drinking and leaving parties and stuff, and here's someone at night not having their headlights on. What's the first thought you're going to come to mind? This is a person who's probably been drinking.
Right.
This is a huge missed opportunity from Gardner, because she could have actually said, look at this. It is possible for the police to be professional and deal with people properly. This is what we need more of. Yeah. But no, every time that she deals with the police in her comments, it's intimidation and unprofessional, all this kind of stuff. And following that ridiculous lawsuit that she filed, I mean, she can't wonder why she has enemies.
And meanwhile, she has a 27% conviction rate in St. Louis City, especially North St. Louis City, burns.
Yeah.
Right. And that's for the people she chooses to prosecute.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, it's this new thing that we're seeing that in running for offices like circuit attorney or county prosecutor are not prosecutors. They're social reformists that are running for and winning these offices. Mm-hmm. And for me, and I think for anybody that's wants to see law and order upheld, this is a scary trend.
We said before, all you have to do, I think last week, all you have to do is look at San Francisco and see what happens when you decriminalize petty crimes.
Yes.
You are on the road to anarchy.
Yeah.
And that's what these social justice warrior prosecutors, that's what they're advocating. No bail, closing down the workhouse. And this whole decriminalization culture has gotten so crazy now that now you can borrow books from the library, and if you decide not to take them back, it's no fine anymore. Yeah. I mean, where is the incentive?
Well, the decriminalization of petty crime.
Yeah.
I was watching,
and that's not a crime, but it's like, where's the incentive to stop you from doing something?
What's happening
that you shouldn't?
In San Francisco? People really should look into it. I was watching a documentary
on Fox.
They were talking to a grocery store owner.
Yeah, I saw that.
And people were stealing from him as they were shooting this documentary, and he was like, there's nothing we can do about it because they decriminalized petty crime.
If you steal under $950, you may get a citation, but you won't be arrested or anything like that.
Mike, another thing that we will be watching here this year, of course, presidential election, but in the state of Missouri, Governor Mike Parson is going to run for the one and only time for the office that he holds right now. A lot of people think, he has overwhelming opportunity to win. Are you excited at all about the governor's race? It has gotten literally no publicity to this point.
Well, there's a reason it's not getting a lot of publicity. One, it is being overshadowed by impeachment, just like you said. But at the same time, I don't think anybody expects this race to be competitive whatsoever. Nicole Galloway, to give her credit, she's being very forthcoming of where she's coming from, ideologically, philosophically. She says, I'm for gun control. I'm for, unfettered abortion. I'm for Medicaid for all. I'm against school. I mean, she's really saying the things that she has to know is not going to resonate with Missouri voters. So I don't see this as being a particularly competitive race. The only thing that really is interesting about the governor's race right now is this rumor mill about Eric Greitens.
Yeah.
Which, all of a sudden.
What do you think about that?
Okay, so I actually had somebody who knows him very well tell me four weeks ago, that he says, he is absolutely planning a comeback. So watch, something's going to happen. And that's
in
all he
2020,
said.
Though?
He didn't say that. That's the thing, is he didn't say that. And I said, I have heard from other people that he was that, but this person knows Greitens really well.
Chris Arps and Mark Cox have been arguing about this for 2 weeks.
Well, I heard someone tell me this morning that's close to Eric Greitens. I'm giving you a scoop. He's definitely not going to run for office.
Because I asked the question, I said, for governor this or next year by that time?
Right.
And they're like, that's all I'm going to say. So I don't know. But and then right on cue, my social media is flooded with Eric Greitens stuff. I'm invited to this Bring Back Eric Greitens group, and I didn't actually join it, but because I'm invited, I still see all their stuff.
Right.
And so I'm looking at all of this, and it looks to me that he is probably involved with it or behind it. I can't say that definitively, but I think he is definitely planning a comeback. Whether or not it's this year or not, I have no idea.
I think he is, too. I think he wants to get back in. I think he's the kind of person whose ego is very bruised right now, and he wants to right the wrongs that he perceives were done to him. However, I don't think, personally, my opinion is he's too damaged to be a viable candidate.
Yeah, I don't
What do you think?
I don't think he beats Parson in a primary at all. I do think, though, that he damages Parson in a primary, because Parson's going to have to spend some money.
Right.
And Greitens, whether or not he fully believes in the conservative, policy approach or not, I don't know. He did govern pretty conservatively.
Yeah.
His policies were not bad.
Right.
Now, people may not like his personality, his ego, the way he dealt with the legislature was horrendous and just rookie mistakes. But he at least governed more conservatively than, at least as conservatively, if not more conservatively, than what we're seeing from Governor Parson right now.
Running out of time. Want to get this last question in. it when you are governor of a state and or a representative in a state, part of the legislative body, having the majority is great because mm-hmm. you can do what you want to do. But the downside is you got to do it. You got to make progress.
Yes.
You can't hide behind, well, they're stopping us from doing what we're doing.
Right.
Overall, what is your opinion of the governor and the Republicans and their supermajority over the last couple of years? Have they done a good job?
Yeah, I think so. I really do. I mean, we've got tax cuts. The one thing I'm really disappointed in is we don't have more school choice yet. Mm-hmm. That should be something that Republicans can put into place. They have protected our Second Amendment rights. They have been strong pro-life. I think overall, yes, they have. And I think that Governor Parson, I've known him for many years. I think that overall he has held water. I think he's held serve or par or whatever mm-hmm. sports cliche we want to throw in there. But I think he's done what's expected of him. He's the right guy at the right time because he came in and basically said, all right, everybody, calm down. Let's get back to just basics.
Yeah.
Infrastructure, workforce development, the basics. And I think that he has settled a very tumultuous time, and he did, I think he did that very, very well. I don't see him losing this race.
Right. That's Mike Ferguson. The show is American Viewpoints every Sunday morning, 5 a.m. here on 97.1. Besides the show, if people want to follow you on social media, websites, all that good stuff,
I've got a brand new Twitter account for the show. It's nice. AVP Radio Show, at AVP Radio Show. And of course, Missouri Viewpoints is still on Channel 24, Sunday mornings at 7.
There you go. Great stuff. Mike, great to see you. Thanks for coming in. We'll talk to you again real, real soon.
I got to go get the trash out. See you.
All right. We need to take a break. When we get back, Skip Weber is here, and it is Weird News Challenge time. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to The Weekend Report on 97.1 FM Talk. That's lyrics. That's a lyrical genius. You lose me.
You lose everything.
You lose everything.
Come on.
That's a fact. Welcome back to the Weekend Report, 97.1 FM Talk. That song means that Skip Weber is in the building, and it is Weird News Challenge time. Welcome back. Trish Gazelle from 102.5 cannot join us this week. So Chris Arps is playing against Skip Weber and
Carl Middleman.
Producer Carl Middleman.
The intellectuals.
Playing the game this week. And
she's smart.
This is important.
She got a 2-week winning streak.
Yeah.
That's why she's not playing.
She's on a 2-week winning streak.
She's a little bit scared.
Trish gets the Pop-Tart question.
Closing the gap on Skip. They're all the same question.
She's really good at the Pop-Tart
questions. They're questions. Exactly. Yeah, they're the same questions for you, too. But she's won 2 in a row, closing the gap on Skip, and she's not here this week. Yeah. So a chance for everybody for Skip to increase the lead.
What about me?
Or Chris to close the gap a little bit more. And in fact, we were just talking, Skip, who is the all-time leader wins in this game, has not won in 2020.
And this month is almost over.
I know.
That's kind of amazing.
Won at all.
Chris has won, Trish has won, but Skip has not.
That's amazing.
I have not won since the teens.
You have not won since the introduction
since the
QMD, the question of mass destruction, which we have another one today.
All right.
The QMD is in effect, which means at the end of the game, no matter what the score is, there's one very difficult question that I will ask, and it's an automatic win.
Rosebud.
No matter what the score is, it's an automatic win if you get it right. So, Weird News Challenge is... real news questions from recent news stories that are sometimes a little bit off the beaten path, or just maybe a little bit strange. If you buzz in and you get the question right, you get the point. If you get it wrong, you do not lose a point because we encourage participation here on the Weird News Challenge. And this week we
I've been made aware. we need to say that. we would like to ask there to be please no wagering on the outcome.
Oh, that's such a good point. That's such a good point.
It's not legal yet.
Please do not wager on the game as you're listening at home.
We have a lobbyist in Jeff City trying to get that changed.
I don't think we should. I don't think we should dirty it with okay. gambling. Yeah.
This week we have.
And I like gambling. No, I'm just
right.
Kidding.
Right.
This week we have four questions.
He bet money on himself.
Yes. This week we have four questions. The first three are worth 1 point.
Uh-oh.
The fourth question is worth 10
points.
Wow. Whoa. And then we have the QMD. However, that fourth question, there's 10 possible points on the line, but I think only like half of them are really legitimately gettable. But I could be wrong about that. Before we play the game, we have to test the buzzers. Chris Arps. Uh-huh. Skip Weber. Ding, ding, ding.
Carl.
Carl's got the Carl. All right. Here we go. Katie Fitzpatrick rule not in effect, which means you can buzz in anytime during the question and attempt to answer it. Weird News Challenge, Weekend Report, Weird News Challenge, episode number 67.
Wow.
Question number one. Impeachment talk has, of course, dominated the news for weeks, partially due to the fact that this is not something that happens very often. To get 1 point, name the three. Skip Weber.
We will go with Bill Clinton.
That is correct.
Andrew Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you have Donald Trump is impeached this time around.
That is correct. That's the point. Yep.
Yes.
To get 1 point, name the three presidents that have been impeached. Andrew Johnson, Bill Clinton, and Donald Trump.
I perked up when I heard the beginning of it.
Not Richard Nixon.
Because he resigned before.
Yes. That is correct. Chris.
3 points.
Carl. No, that was only 1 point.
Oh,
you had to name all three.
Oh, wow.
I said you had to name for 1 point, you had to get all three of them.
Yeah.
Your skip. Okay, here we go.
So if you only got two out of the three, you didn't get the point?
Right, because if you would have said Nixon, you would have been screwed.
But somebody else could have buzzed in, said those two, and then said the third one and got a point.
I should know the rules by now.
Question number two. Well, that was different. That was kind of a unique question.
Okay.
Question number two. After 104 years of existence.
Carl.
What? Yep.
Mr. Peanut.
That is correct.
Oh, yeah.
Can I mention three presidents. I had to mention Mr. Peanut.
I can make up a question for that.
Do you know what it is?
You know what's going to happen?
Do you know what it is?
I can be very creative.
After 104 years.
What is Mrs. Middleman's nickname for her husband?
Mr. Peanut.
Yeah. Yes, that is true.
That's what I'm saying. That's unlimited.
After 104 years of existence, what famous company mascot was pronounced dead?
Well, not yet.
What?
This week. Not till the Super Bowl ad.
That would sound like you're supposed to be saying the company name, not the mascot.
What famous company mascot? What famous company mascot?
I guess
so. He could have
dead this week. Yeah. Mr.
So
Peanut.
Would you have said Planters? Mr. Peanut.
Planters is killing off Mr.
Absolutely.
Peanut in their Super Bowl ad, and they've already.
It's already out. It's leaked.
Yeah, they've already announced the death.
And two celebrities are in it.
I think they should have kept Mr. Peanut. Just get rid of the monocle. The monocle was kind of outdated.
He's gone.
They've killed him.
He's gone. He's dead.
Yeah.
Wow. Question number three.
Okay.
In other mascot news, what U.S. sports team's mascot?
Carl.
Yes?
Gritty.
That is incorrect.
Uh-huh.
What U.S. sports team's mascot is being investigated for allegedly punching a 13-year-old kid? Gritty's the mascot?
Yes.
I'm looking for the team.
Come on.
I know.
Can I go again if they both get it wrong?
Team's mascot is being investigated for allegedly punching a 13-year-old kid.
I didn't pay attention.
Yeah,
Skip,
you should know this.
I know I do. I've seen this. I read the story, and I'm blanking.
No, you should know this because of...
No, I don't know mascot names.
You want to take a guess at it?
No, I don't know. Great.
Do you want to take a guess at it?
Yeah, I do. Ding, 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 ding. Let's go. Okay, so...
What color is he?
Huh?
What color is Gritty? You said you've seen the story.
No, hints.
I've seen the story. I didn't see pictures of it.
Okay,
I saw the story. So that would be, let's go with the, I'm
5 seconds.
I give up. I can't even.
Just, all right.
Philadelphia Flyers.
Damn it.
Yeah, I would have never.
Philadelphia Flyers, that. Gritty, back in November. Gritty was doing a photo shoot with fans, and a 13-year-old kid hit him on the head after a photo, apparently like a playful tap. And then the kid's dad said that Gritty turned around
and punched him
in the face.
Mm. Is there a lawsuit involved in there somewhere?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's being investigated. Okay. Yes. All right. Question number four is worth 10 points. So first person buzz in gets a chance. As soon as they miss one, second person can buzz in, get more. You guys know the deal. Here we go. A recent study was done to find out the most common questions we ask Siri and Alexa.
Carl.
Yes.
What time is it?
No, that is incorrect.
What? Wow.
That is incorrect.
Ding, 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 ding.
I
was listening.
Chris was texting while I was reading that question. He complains about not winning. He doesn't even know the question.
I do know the question.
All right. Wow.
I will say.
Go ahead, Skip.
I will say, I will guess what is the weather slash temperature.
Yep, that is Damn one.
Yep. That would have been my number two.
Okay, that's okay. one.
So you've already won.
Well, no.
No, I get a chance.
Chris can still buzz in.
You've already won.
There's 10 answers.
Chris can still buzz in.
Thank you, Carl.
He'll have to have me read the question again because he wasn't listening.
Four times.
Skip like that one.
Any more?
Yes. In relation to asking what somebody's contact phone number, how to, directions to get somewhere.
That's two different things.
Well, you know what I'm saying.
Those, like four things.
Those are two things.
Okay, well,
call somebody to get directions somewhere?
No, not call. Say, what is it? What does it say directions to a place? How do I get somewhere?
Check travel information. That is correct.
Okay.
If I was a judge.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'll be as liberal with you.
I'm out.
So let's say, how about a movie or television start time?
That is incorrect.
Okay.
All right. Would you like me to reread the question?
I would, please.
I thought you might.
And can I request that you read slowly?
10 possible points, except now it's 8.
Okay.
You need 3 to force a tie with Skip. A recent study was done to find out the most common questions we ask Siri and Alexa. For 1 point, name the top 10.
What time it is all the time to
what?
You're not coming.
What? Are the top? What are the questions that we ask Siri and Alexa the most?
Mm. What is a athletic score?
That's a good one. That's a good guess.
Come on.
I will. I'll give you that one.
Okay, thanks.
That's 1 point. Hey, you're on the
board. Did you have to reach for that though?
Yeah.
Okay.
What was it?
Find out a random fact.
Now you can't
you
use
really
that.
So a movie time does not count as a fact. That's an opinion. Times around here, but a score is.
Too
a
bad
fact.
The judges.
Yeah,
aren't
you
here
can't
today.
Argue with the judges.
Too bad the judges aren't here.
There's no arguing with you both down.
There's no arguing with the judges.
Here we go.
Okay,
two more. Next,
okay,
or one more to force a tie.
No, two more to force a tie. That was his first point.
I know, but one.
I have three. I got two.
Skip has three.
I got 3 points.
He has 3 points.
Oh, because you got the... Mm-hmm. the
asking when is someone's birthday? it's in your contacts.
Do you not have Alexa?
It is in your contacts.
How about traffic conditions?
Okay, listen to music, check the news, make a phone call, set alarms and reminders, search the internet, send text messages, and ask it to tell you a joke.
What did I say again?
I don't know. Not the
Nothing.
Right answer.
Oh.
I gave you find a random
one of those,
fact.
One of those fit in.
I gave you find
answer.
A random fact.
Yeah.
All right.
I will say point of order that not all of those are questions. So maybe it should have been asking requests of Alexa or whatever.
Right.
Because that confused me because I was
it
looking
at
that's
too.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm sorry for your confusion.
We're going to do
the tiebreaker had we have needed it. We'll do that first. According to a new survey, what percentage of people prefer sitting in the middle seat of an airplane? What percentage of people prefer sitting in the middle seat?
27%.
Okay.
I would say 10.
Carl says 10. Skip says 27%. What percentage of people prefer sitting in the middle seat?
9.
Wow.
I was going
to
say
100.
10.
1%.
Yeah.
You
really? I can't imagine.
Wow. 1% is the answer. 70% said the window seat and 29% said the aisle.
Skip, the 6'9 guy is supposed to get that question.
All right, here we go. QMD, the only chance to beat Skip. And Skip can still buzz in and get it right.
I don't get anything for that, right?
No, but you can still win the game with this right here.
Remember,
QMD.
If I get it, I get 2 points.
2 points.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Can we ever decide on that?
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
You suggested that last week, and he said he'd take it under consideration.
No,
it seems he has considered it not.
Yeah, no, I'm not ready. I'm not ready to go there yet. Because I use the episode number to make sure that the wins are right, I don't want to get
math.
Like, yes, yeah. I need the math. I need the math to work out.
He needs the help.
But you could answer it to protect your lead.
I
you know what I mean? All right, here we go. The question of mass destruction, brand new thing to the Weird News Challenge for 2020. If anybody gets this, it's an automatic win. Barney the dinosaur was not originally supposed to be a dinosaur. In fact, there were two other versions of the character before they decided to make him a dinosaur. You get the win if you can name either of the things.
Ding, 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 ding.
Mm-hmm.
A bear.
A teddy bear.
Oh, my God.
Nice. A talking teddy bear. That is correct.
Good
the
job.
First ever QMD. Has been answered.
Yes.
That's 3 episodes in.
That means your questions are too easy.
He was supposed to be, he was originally a talking blanket.
Yeah, that was, Tally. Go back on the drawing
then
board.
They made him then they made him a talking teddy bear, and then they decided to make him a purple
Did you know
dinosaur.
That, or was that out of your butt?
I thought of stuff that began with B.
Barney the Bear.
Barney
blanket.
The Bear. Yeah. I got it. Yeah,
you
blanket
have, you
too.
Wouldn't have guessed blanket.
Never have guessed blanket in a million years. You could have told me it was a bee warden. I would have
All
guessed
All right,
like,
Skip Weber right.
Barney
wins.
The dinosaur.
Beets and beans.
Very
and
smart.
He has broken the 2020 losing streak.
With the QMD. That's impressive.
Yeah, that was nice. All right, we got to take a break. Skip Weber's sticking around. You should too. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Weekend Report on 97.1 FM Talk.
Yeah. I'm still struck on this.
Attention now. Texting during the Weird News Challenge, but yeah, when it's time to play the air guitar, phone goes off. Welcome back to the Weekend Report, 97.1 FM Talk. Tony Colombo, my co-host Chris Arps,
yes,
producer Carl Middleman, and Skip Weber, all in studio
Good win.
With you.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Nicely done.
I got to give you that.
I wonder what the line was on me getting that right. Oh, no, we don't have gambling in it. That's right, yeah.
See, I told you you put money on himself.
Our lobbyist is working on that.
Hey, and he also paid me to throw it.
I have, this week, I got my first St. Louis Battlehawks t-shirt.
Ah!
All right, all right.
Yeah. The Weekend Report is Battle
I cannot
Hawk,
wait for those new rules.
Battle Hawk
the
Radio.
Extra point rule.
I know.
Got me excited. Mm-hmm. The kickoff rule has got me puzzled because
they're
taking away an onside kick, which I don't understand how they would do that.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah, I don't know. I don't know if there's a way to do an onside kick.
How do you can't not with the way the
I
rules
know.
Are.
Yeah, the way it's
think
set
so.
Up.
I wouldn't think so. But you can get 9 points with a touchdown.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's something.
Tony, but if you can't get the ball back, if you're 10 points
yeah,
up,
right.
If you're 10 points up, you've won.
Right. Right.
Because they can't get the ball back.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So
when you get your Battle Hawks t-shirt, will you stand on your head so we can see the STL backwards?
I'll do that for you. Yeah, no doubt.
And we'll post that on the website.
Sure. I'll definitely.
You can't lean up against the wall or anything. You have to stand on your head.
Mm-hmm.
Do a tip up. Remember tip ups from grade school?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Speaking of sports, before we get into a couple things I want to talk with Skip about, but one of the things that made news this week that I want to get everybody's thoughts on was the Major League Baseball is going to be using the robot umpires in some spring training games this year.
That's how they started.
They used it in the minor leagues last year.
From what I understood, though, they were just going to have them there, and there was still going to be a person calling balls and strikes, and they were going to test to see how close they were.
Yeah.
So maybe it was like a keeping them accurate.
Right.
Not to replace them. But, you know, otherwise, I mean, when does the umpires become self-aware and start shooting up everybody?
Do you want
Skynet?
Do you want it to be the robots calling balls and strikes? Or you want
Heck
to,
no.
Human error.
This is where I fall. If it was up to me, we would just let human officials officiate games, full stop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What I hate is when we go halfway with it and it's like, hey, we want to install all this instant replay and camera stuff because we want to get it right. We want to make sure we get it right. But then sometimes it's, oh, but not this play because that one's not reviewable. So we do all this because we want to, quote, get it right, but we don't want to get it right in every occasion.
I get the not reviewable. It's like, come on. I definitely get it most of all in baseball. Pretty much every play is reviewable except for balls and strikes.
Right, right.
And I agree with that.
I'd rather, like, in football, the whole catch thing is so frustrating to me. Like, you know when somebody's caught the ball or not, or if they fumble the ball or not. We don't need to.
You're not always.
Doesn't the technology, though, in a sense, take the purity out of the game, in a sense?
Yes.
I mean, there are plays that have happened, and there wasn't any instant replay or anything like that, and you know that that call was missed, and you may be disappointed that that happened to your team, but it's something that just goes down in sports folklore. Yes. This is a call that, like, the Danger.
Right.
But that's just a call that was missed.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. If there had been an instant replay in 1985, we would have won the game. Cardinals had another World Series.
Yeah. But it kind of takes, agree. I mean, do we want that much purity where we were?
Yes.
We
in
know
basketball,
exactly
do you
what,
want to see if their foot's on the line?
I would give anything to have that call reversed to Denkinger.
I have that picture terrible. Hanging in my basement. the close-up of the ball in Worrell's
and
glove.
And him saying safe.
Yeah, Denkinger calling safe, and the runner's
not
2
even there
feet
yet.
Off the bag. Interesting stuff. Going to keep an
but
eye
you know,
on that.
Currently, they actually do that because they go back to the TV tapes, and you don't get picked for playoffs if your percentage is any horrible spot.
Right.
Right, but balls and strikes is not really.
But that's true. But it's true in that as well. So they go back and they look at the tapes and see what their actual percentage of accuracy is before you get picked for postseason.
Right.
I kind of like just the element of the human error possibly being in there. I know I don't know if
World
I just
Series.
Want it just perfect. Yeah.
So here's your plan for the rest of the night. So the weekend report is on until 7 o'clock. We're about done. When we're done, turn on the All-Star game, which is happening here
on
in
Channel
St.
5. I'm over there
watch
right
that.
Now.
Yeah, watch that. Carl's there as we speak, or as you're hearing this at least.
Right.
We'll watch the All-Star game for a couple hours, and then maybe the game's not over, but you turn down the sound on the television, and you turn up the Saturday Evening Rock Show.
Absolutely.
Nationally syndicated Saturday Evening Rock Show.
Yes.
Starring Skip Weber.
Number one talk music show on a talk station in the world.
That is correct. That is correct.
Worldwide.
Worldwide.
Yep.
Or
and,
at least two time zones.
That's right. That's right. So it happens every Saturday night.
Radio.com. It's on worldwide.
That's right. We have listeners all over the world.
There you go. Correct. Saturday Evening Rock Show is 9 to 11 every Saturday night here on 97.1. Skip Weber's the host. What's happening tonight?
Another great theme. You know, we've got
the two. Can you give the two Facebook hints?
I can give the two. There's only one Facebook hint. It's Night Ranger when you close your eyes.
Okay. Mm.
The first two songs will give you it.
Gotcha.
It will give you it. So if you want to know the first two songs, let me know.
Is it one theme for all 2 hours?
One theme for all 2 hours.
Very good.
We've only done the split theme twice. I mean, once. One time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I've been able to get 18, 17, 2 hours worth of music out of everything we've tried. So.
And what is happening at Weber Chevrolet?
Well, our auto show bonus cash is going to go on today. Tomorrow marks the end of the auto show. It's phenomenal as always. I think I've said it before. You got Detroit, Chicago, and L.A., the big name auto shows.
I've heard that before.
Every
you heard
other,
that last week when he said it.
With every other show in the country, I'd stack up balls against it.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
Miami, New York, Philadelphia, Dallas, this is at least as good as those. The St. Louis Auto Dealers Association do a phenomenal job bringing you an entertaining show. It's great for kids. It's very reasonable in price. There's great food you can get down there. It's really, 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 really good. And check out the new Chevys there. But we have money on some of our most popular vehicles, including $1,000 on Silverado. On top of all of the other stuff going on. So the national rebates, what we do, that's all there. And because of the auto show, Chevrolet supports it with an extra $1,000 through next week.
How long has Silverado been your most popular vehicle?
30 years.
Really?
Yeah,
so it's that long
maybe,
that the truck has dominated.
Yeah,
and do you see that ever? Like, has there been any shift in people's
there's times when I don't know how often we compare car sales to truck sales, but as far as our sales,
right,
Silverado's the top.
Well, there's a lot of people that drive trucks because they need trucks, but there's also a lot of people that drive trucks because they
like
trucks.
And it's a family vehicle now. And that's why Chevrolet stands out. It's by far the most comfortable back seat of any truck.
No doubt.
And we need a crew cab.
There's five of us.
Yeah.
You
fit great.
Yeah, and we fit great.
And everybody's
with a car
comfortable,
seat.
Lots of leg room. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah, it's no, you're absolutely
so that's,
right.
So that's the thing. I mean, the other trucks might have good stats. You might say, oh, this and that, and whatever, but they are nowhere near as comfortable. If you're looking at it as a family. I mean, here, Chevy's got the stats on the towing and the hauling too.
Right.
But you know, and the longevity and all that stuff. But the comfort of it is something they really crow about.
Are you seeing any trends for 2020 yet? Like, is there anything that's stood out about the new year at all?
No, because you know, we actually are selling more pre-owned right now than new, which is fine. And it's kind of common when you have the employee pricing because it brings forward so many people that come out of the woodwork and you know people, but. Not to say that with the auto show bonus cash, the price would have been very, very similar. So it didn't really, you know, it's not like a great, great, great better deal. But still, we lose a little bit of January business into December. So, but our pre-owned is ridiculous. We'll probably break another record.
Right.
Wow. Which we've done. We did three times last year. We broke records. We're really close to doing it again. I bet you we do. So because of that, I can't give you a gauge on what people are buying. I mean, it's still the same, you know.
Right.
But
we talk about on Carl's movie review, which you can go check out right now. This week is
The Gentleman, Guy Ritchie.
Yeah, Guy Ritchie's film. You can check out Carl's movie reviews on the Weekend Report webpage, 971talk.com/weekendreport.
I enjoyed it very much.
The 971 YouTube channel. Yeah, go and check out this week's
review. But you got to be a Guy Ritchie fan.
is that right?
Yes. And Carl always talks about January kind of being a dead month for movies. You know, it's not when they put out the hottest stuff. What's January in the car world?
Probably a little bit similar. We're waiting on what's coming out. I mean, here next month will be a whole new batch of things, and they'll react to you know what happened in this month. Of course, that's how it goes every month in, month out. But you're solidly in the middle of the 2020s. It's not time to even begin to talk about the 2021s. It's not time to worry about you know other stuff going on. We still have a very slight bit of 19s, so. You know, you got a little bit, but it is better. The 2020s all have regular rebates. It's no longer the new model year rebate.
Right.
So the pricing is very, very good. So I think, I mean, it's a good rejuvenation. We always have a good, nice total car sales January, whether it's skewed to new or used, I don't know.
Yep. Check out everything that's happening at all three locations, WeberChevrolet.com. And the best way to follow the Saturday Evening Rock Show?
Saturday Evening Rock Show on Facebook. Or you can email. We don't have a website, but we do. I need to talk to the station about that.
Let's get this figured out.
Well, you can email me at SaturdayEveningRockShow@gmail.com. But the Facebook page has lots of information on
it. Very good stuff. And we mentioned earlier, Chris, but before we go, the latest article, Red State.
I can't remember the title, but it's about redstate.com.
The Virginia article?
Baby tourism.
Birthright tourism.
There you
go. I can't ever remember the titles of these.
You know what? Now that he's writing multiple articles
he's
a week,
on the phone,
he can't even
he
keep up.
Care.
He's just like, hey, go to redstate.com. I basically own the place now.
It's called,
you can read all
it's
my
called
stuff.
Being 54 years old, and memory is not what it once was.
Don't forget about our podcast. If you missed anything today, great interview with Omari Faulkner, United States Senate candidate, Virginia, Mike Ferguson, of course, Skip Weber, the Weird News Challenge. All of it on the podcastradio.com or the website to get the podcast. And we'll see you back here next Saturday. So for my co-host, Chris Arps, and our producer, Carl Middleman, I'm Tony Colombo. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you back here next week for another edition of the Weekend Report on 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.